I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is Tech Central's TCS Plus, which is brought to you today by a fascinating company called Afrigis. Afrigis is a specialist in the field of geospatial information science, and I'm joined in studio by the company's recently appointed Chief Sustainability Officer, Helen Hewlett. Now we're going to delve into the launch of the Resolve Water Project and how Afrigis is using advanced mapping and data analytics to address water scarcity, improve resource management, and support businesses in need. Helena, you've traveled all the way up from the KZN Midlands to be with us today here in Johannesburg. So thank you and welcome to the show.
No, thank you. And thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I'd like to start with three topics, if you don't mind. I'd like to talk about yourself, about Afrigis, and about the Resolve Water Project. So let's start about yourself. Talk about yourself. What's your background? Where were you before you joined Afrigis?
So I have worked for nearly the last 20 years in helping the private sector with their water security strategies. Mm-hmm. So my history in South Africa is I've worked for all of the big industrial players. And I was a director at an engineering firm. So we would develop their internal engineering solutions and strategies in terms of achieving water security, so a lot of water reuse, water treatment. And that was really what I do for companies is I forecast for them how large their water risk is, how much it's going to cost them in the future in terms of production loss, and in that way help them develop their return on investment for capital investment plans. And more recently, I've been working internationally. I work for international consultants who do a lot of water stewardship work. So we work for the big international corporates and develop their water inventories and water stewardship plans. So all of this put together has given me a really good insight in terms of what's happening in South Africa mm-hmm. when it comes to water security and the need for companies to do something when it comes to water. And then at the international level, what's happening with ESG mm-hmm. And where that trend is leading. More recently in South Africa, we've been working for the financial institutions as they try and get their head around water security and what it's going to do for their investments and their portfolios going forward. And then I joined Afrigis, about 3 months ago? Mm-hmm. It's a partnership. We are developing a very important and high-impact solution, which I'm sure we'll get to just now.
Absolutely.
But it's got to do with water security in South Africa and it's focusing on the private sector.
I want to delve into this water security issue and how much of a challenge it is in South Africa. But before we get there, Afrigis, just tell me a bit about the business and how you came across them.
Afrigis, so I actually worked with, when I was at a different company, I started up a digital division. It was a water-related tech solution for industry. And I met Rochelle, who is now the CEO of Afrigis. She used to be at Microsoft. So yes. While she helped me start up the startup at my previous company. We developed a relationship, and when she moved over to Afrigis, we decided to work together on developing a broader solution.
Okay. Yeah. Well, tell me about water security in South Africa. I hear stories. I know what the situation here is in Joburg, where I don't have water coming out my taps every few weeks. And I'm guessing this is an issue that's not only unique to Johannesburg, but is occurring right across the country. What are the challenges that businesses are facing in terms of water supply and water security across South Africa right now?
So it's a hugely complex issue and it's hugely complicated, which makes it very hard for companies to develop a solution around it. So South Africa is in a unique position globally where they've got multiple factors contributing to their water concerns. It's happening at the catchment level where our catchments are running out of water. So the government is the DWS, Department of Water and Sanitation, has their strategies in order to augment that water supply, which they are rolling out, but it's taken a few years and they're a few years behind. So it's that catchment level water stress. And then linked to it, what's the biggest issue at the moment is the municipal water stress. So mm-hmm. how water works is the water comes from the catchment at a national government level, but then the municipalities, as the water service provider, buy it from the water boards and have to treat it and provide it to the clients.
Mm-hmm. In Gauteng, that would be Rand Water, for example.
Rand Water would be the water board, and then the city of Joburg or the city of Ekurhuleni mm-hmm. would buy that water. And they either buy it treated or they treat it themselves, depending on the water service provider. And then because we've got 200 and something municipalities, each one is operating in a different way. Some are implementing their plans. Some infrastructure has been maintained and others haven't. So it's very much all over the place, which again makes it difficult for a company who's got manufacturing facilities all over the country to figure out, well, where's the biggest risk hotspots? Mm-hmm. Where is my water supply unreliable? And where's the quality not reliable either? Because while we, as South Africa, we think about volume the most in terms of, is there enough water? Quality is actually becoming one of the biggest concerns, whether that's at the catchment level with the contamination through the wastewater treatment plants discharging contaminated water back into the rivers, or whether it's the potable water where the water treatment plants actually aren't treating it to effective potable standards anymore, which is having a huge impact on the food and bev companies. It has an impact on agriculture and any other manufacturing facility that requires a certain quality of water, such as pharmaceuticals.
Right. We cover the IT sector here at Tech Central, and that doesn't have a huge demand for water. Of course, data centers use water, but it's, I don't think the quality of that water matters too much. But in other industries, it's critical.
It definitely is. If you're using it within food production, you need it to be of a higher standard. So what you're finding a lot in South Africa is that our food and bev facilities are having to put in more complex water treatment systems. So retreating it after it becomes from the municipality, which costs them a lot of money. But it also requires high skills to be at all of their plants to be able to manage those water treatment plants.
Okay. So, Helen, how does geospatial information science fit into all of this?
So it's a lovely partnership because water and water risk is very context-based. And you'll always hear that. Whenever a company or government or anyone talks about water, they say the risk is very context-based, which really means it's specific to the area that you are in. Whereas your water coming out of your tap potentially isn't the same water, a quality water coming out of your neighbor, well, at a 100 meters down the road isn't the same quality coming out. So you really have to be location specific when it comes to water. So bringing in the geospatial science enables us to consolidate all the data around water linked to a location. So what we're doing at the moment is we're consolidating all data, volume and quality data from the catchment and the municipal level, and linking it to a single location so that a company would be able to log on and see, okay, well, this is the quality of my water coming out. This is my risk of supply because of the availability. And that's very, very specific to that location, which enables better risk identification and therefore better investment and helps the company make decisions around it.
You must have a lot of data about where the problem areas are. Do you feed that back to government? Does that data get used to try and fix some of the issues that we're seeing?
So where it helps government, and government does have a lot of that data themselves, it's really what we're doing is we're taking that data and we're translating it for business, because businesses can't make a decision based on the format of data that government is presenting them with. Okay, so it doesn't help them to say, oh, we've got a high water risk. Businesses need to understand, okay, well, what is that going to mean for my production and what is that going to mean for my revenue going forward? So we translate the data for them from very technical government output to very business-specific context so that they're able to make the decisions around it. And where that helps government is government at the moment knows that they have to spend a lot of money on infrastructure. They don't have all the money to spend on that, and they're relying on private sector investment within that space. But the private sector at the moment aren't making any decisions on investment because they don't have the confidence around, if I invest in this solution, is it actually going to solve my water security issue? So what we're doing is we're providing the private sector with the confidence to understand, okay, well, this is what my risk is made up of, and if I do this solution, it will solve that problem. Giving them the confidence to make that investment and therefore contribute to actual infrastructure investment within the government space or within the broader community space.
Right. Okay. And where is your work mainly focused? You're obviously based in KZN. Is that where a lot of the work is happening?
No. So it will be covered. So where we're starting out is South Africa.
Broadly.
A lot of the banks have investments in the agricultural sector, so it's helping them figure out, okay, well, where's the risk in the agricultural sector? Where do we need to be in enabling our clients to ensure that they have more efficient irrigation systems? So really giving the banks the tools to understand their portfolio water risk and focus their investments and their support. But again, obviously a lot of the manufacturing happens in Gauteng. So it will be mining and manufacturing in Gauteng and down in the Eastern Cape. and the Cape as well. So the idea is start in South Africa, where we understand the system, we know the problem well, we know the risks well, and then move with our clients up into Africa. So we've currently finalizing an MOU with CCBA, which is Coca-Cola Beverages Africa. Mm-hmm. We are developing the solution. They are coming on board to develop the solution with us, with the idea that we'll then design it around all of their plants in Africa. So they've got about 40 plants in different countries in Africa, and we'll move that way. And there's a few other private sectors players as well that we're working with, mm-hmm. with that model to move up.
Okay. Coca-Cola, obviously, clean water is absolutely critical.
Yeah, it is.
It's in the end product.
It is, and they also have a huge water stewardship or community-related, I don't know what you would say, like policy and ethos in terms of making sure that it's not only them that's getting clean water, but it's the communities around them that are also, so it's important to them.
So tell us a bit about the technology and the innovations that that you've applied in the space. I imagine that AI might have a role to play in some of this as well.
So it's from the very beginning, from even just sifting through. So we've got our specialists at the moment, the DW, Department of Water and Sanitation, have been working in this space for years and years, and they're producing these PDF reports. And so we've got over 5,000 DWS PDF reports, but we have to sift through them and pull out all of the information. So right now the team's making models, AI models, to actually just pull out all of the current information and also to track. So to continuously scrape websites as soon as a new tariff is released by a municipality, because water data is sitting at all levels, from national government level to local government, municipal level. So it's having to scrape all of that and pull out the relevant information and consolidate it, and also make sure it's continuously updated. So that's the key area of focus at the moment. And then obviously as we mature and we evolve, we'll have to then start looking at, okay, well, we've got the data coming in. How do we use machine learning to make sure that we can actually validate that data and improve the solution?
Okay. Yeah. And what about data collection? Do you make use of Internet of Things devices? Do you have sensors out in the field that are monitoring all the time?
No, so we don't do any of that. So there's a lot of monitoring systems in place. So we are consolidating all of that data up. Okay. So the DWS has a lot of monitoring stations. They've got thousands of quality and volume monitoring stations. We're pulling that data in. And then there's also private monitoring that's going on.
Okay. So do you create dashboards that your clients look at, and they can dig down into information and see what the issues are and where problems are and that sort of thing? Maybe just explain how it works exactly.
There's different tiers to the solution. The basic tier is really just if you can put in your location in South Africa, and it will tell you exactly where your water is coming from. To be able to map your water supply chain is quite a novel facility. It's very hard to do. You don't know where, for example, you have no idea what water treatment plant is treating the water you have at home. For a company, they need to be able to map from the catchment level, where's that water at the catchment level, which storage dam is it going to, which bulk water service provider, water board is it going to, then who's the water service provider and water service authority, which reservoirs is it being stored in, what the reticulation system that it looks like. Before it gets to the facility, because along that full chain of events,
anything could happen.
You've got so many risks involved. And so you'll be able to map your water supply chain, and it also rates for you the level of risk forecasted in the future for each section of that, down to the reticulation system and the non-revenue water, and the reliability of that system, because that is currently the manufacturing facility's biggest impact is just water supply shutdowns.
Right.
Stopping their own production.
Yeah. And water quality must be a big issue too. I mean, if you're a beverages company, for example, like Coca-Cola, you cannot afford for that water to be contaminated.
No, they take it very seriously.
They have to.
And so there's continuous monitoring. They do more monitoring than government does when it comes to that. And if they feel that there is any risk or concern, then they have to start dumping. They won't let it go to market. But they do. They have very, very sophisticated water treatment plants. But it does. It starts to cost and money.
Yeah. And I think you've given us some insight into the impact that this has had in industries. But maybe if you could maybe expand on that and talk about the broader impact of what you're doing and how it's affecting people's lives and what's happening on the ground. you've given the example of Coca-Cola, but maybe some other examples. I know you might not be able to mention client names, but...
I'm trying to think. So, in South Africa, all the big industrial players take water very seriously. And having worked a lot internationally in recent years, South African companies, you realize, have a far better understanding of water and the risk involved. And they are also far more ready to react and respond to water risk.
Mm.
Because they understand that it can have an impact on production, it can have a large impact on production. So it's a very exciting space to work in, because it's not, internationally you very much get the mindset of it's never going to happen. Yes, you say I've got a high water risk, but what does that actually mean? In South Africa, you talk to a board, you explain the water risk profile to them, you provide them with a strategy, they're very ready to implement that mm-hmm. strategy. So they're very proactive. And I think in some ways that's, load shedding helped us in one way. It made us a little bit more proactive, and we're willing to believe that there is going to be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
It also, it let us down, it didn't help us in one way when it comes to water, just because the big issue with water is it can't be solved in a silo. So whereas with load shedding, you could put some solar panels on the roof or generate some renewable energy, you could get yourself out of the issue. With water, you can't. It very much has to be a collaborative solution. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're trying to achieve with Resolve Water, is make it collaborative. So whether the manufacturing facility down the road from you is your competitor or not, companies in South Africa are willing to talk to each other. And if they are going to be investing in a solution, whether it's a non-revenue solution, a catchment water stewardship solution, sorry, they very much are happy to collaborate. And we need that collaboration. We need that collaboration across all. We need it. Governments very happy to collaborate at the moment. The finance sector needs to come on board, investors and the private sector. Because as soon as they start to collaborate together, those solutions scale far quicker, and they become far more impactful, instead of a Pepsi trying to do one thing, a Coke trying to do another, and a Sappy trying to do a different solution.
Is that sort of work happening?
Not really. There's a lot of solutions going on.
A lot of talk.
But there's no transparent, there's no easy, they would happily collaborate if they knew, if there was more transparency in terms of, okay, who's investing in what, and what solutions, what blue bonds are available within my catchment over here, or what's the financial solutions available that we could, or who the project developers are. Those kind of projects, it's just not easy to identify them at the moment. Mm-hmm. So bringing together and providing some transparency in that space. So with Resolve Water, what we're aiming to do is, at a single facility, you can fully understand your water risk. You can understand how that's going to impact your business, whether you are a manufacturer, a bank, an investor, or an insurance company. And then you can also understand, okay, well, what are the solutions that I can implement? And what are the channels or mechanisms available and collaboration opportunities that I could get involved with to achieve that end? So trying to close the whole loop to drive investment within this space.
And I imagine that a manufacturer might come to you and ask for your advice on the location of a plant, for example.
Yes.
Can we put it here? What's the water quality like? What are our risks? You do that sort of project work, I imagine.
Yeah, so the due diligence side of things is becoming far more emphasized when companies are looking at locations, because there was Clover, as an example, who had to shut down one of their facilities because of water supply.
In Northwest, I think.
Yeah, it was Lichtenberg.
Lichtenberg, yes, you're right.
I think.
It was. Okay. I remember reading it, yes.
And then they consolidated down to Etiquette. So it is, it's definitely on the risk registers for companies now, and they do take it seriously.
Okay. And the situation, is it improving or is it getting worse currently?
I would actually say it's improving, just because...
Okay, that's good to hear.
So DWS had a very hard couple of years. Then it's probably in the last 5 years, it's made huge leaps and bounds.
Mm-hmm.
It went from them having the worst Auditor General's results of all the government departments to now it receives the best. Over the last 2 years, it's received the best. They've implemented systems that... The last blue drop, green drop, I think, was done in 2013, and it was reinvigorated, and it's now back up and running since 2023. So they really are trying, they're doing a great job. in terms of getting back on their feet. So at the national level, it's going very well. I think where the big issue is in South Africa is unfortunately sitting still at the municipal level where it gets political quite quickly. Mm-hmm. And there it depends on which municipality and water service provider you're sitting in.
Right.
Where it becomes difficult.
Yeah. Do you deal a lot with the municipalities? You must see all sorts of good, well-run municipalities and yes. atrociously run municipalities.
But I think that's probably the case with any service provider in South Africa.
Yeah. But you're on the ground. You're interfacing with these municipalities, which a lot of companies don't do.
So there is. There's, and unfortunately, a lot of it is sitting at the wastewater treatment plant as well, which is an area that doesn't get a lot of attention, but needs to, because those are where the sewage is running straight into the rivers.
It's happening all over Gauteng.
Yeah, and Itakwini is not great.
Since the floods.
Yeah.
KZN, yeah. KZN is I was going to ask about KZN because it has extreme weather events, tropical cyclones, floods. Every so often, it seems the whole eastern seaboard is going to wash into the ocean. That must have a significant impact on infrastructure in that region and the ability to supply clean water to business.
So the clean water that goes to Durban is actually treated and supplied by Mgeni Water. It's not done by Itakwini Municipality.
Okay, like Rand Water here in Gauteng.
Yes.
Yeah.
And those are actually very, very well-run plants. A lot of it is actually transferred down from Bidmar. So there's a pipeline that goes down to Durban.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So it's actually quite good. I suppose it's then in just the last mile where there might be pipes that are destroyed or whatever.
It's, yes, because as soon as it's handed over to Itakwini Water and sanitation,
yeah,
they then in charge of the reticulation systems, and I think that's where you get the large non-revenue water coming
in. Okay. Now you mentioned expansion opportunities in other countries. What are your plans there? And would you look at partnerships, or would you look at going into greenfields projects? How do you see the opportunity? And are you looking specifically at Africa?
Yes.
Or are you looking beyond that as well?
So for now, we are focusing specifically on Africa for a number of reasons. One, Africa is a very difficult place to manage this risk because the data isn't available. And it's going to start getting hits in a number of ways. One is investment. People will, unless there's clarity around the water risk, it will hinder investment within Africa. And two, we form the supply chain. Africa forms the supply chain of a lot of big internationals. And the big internationals at the moment are very much looking at their supply chain. So I'm currently doing a project for a big retailer in America, and they want 3,500 of their suppliers to be investigated in terms of their water risk and their water inventories. And as soon as it's identified, so if that large company in America identifies, okay, well, potentially there's a risk in the it's a high-risk area in Southern Africa, what they potentially tend to do and where the risk is for us is say, okay, well, we have a mandate not to impact water resources within high-risk zones, so we're just not going to use that supplier anymore.
Okay.
And they divert away from it. So we really do have to get ahead of this and ensure that we can show that we understand our water risk, we're managing it, and we have it under control, and we're further ahead than other countries.
Okay. Just lastly then, where do you see the space going? What's the outlook for the next 5 years? And are you hopeful that we're going to get on top of all these challenges we're facing in South Africa right now?
Oh, no, 100%. Definitely, I think. And why it's exciting, you asked earlier if you think the space is improving. And one, it's improving at a government level, if potentially lagging behind at a municipal level. But the exciting area is that it's getting a lot of attention from the banks, and the private sector, the rest of the private sector at the moment.
Okay.
And they're looking at, well, what kind of innovative solutions could we be implementing? How can we improve the situation? And I think in South Africa, when that happens, you always get some very, very like novel ideas coming forward. And so I think for the next 5 years, it's going to be a very interesting space. Mm-hmm. It's a space that's growing fast. And then you're going to start to see a lot of different solutions and a lot of different structures of solutions. So whether it's a PPP or figuring out how to collaborate with municipalities and governments on solutions and investments. But it's
in these poorly run municipalities, are you expecting private sector companies increasingly to take over the management of water reticulation?
So I don't think they will take over the management. What the government has done is they've developed the Water Partnership Office through DBSA as well.
Okay.
And they're using that as a channel to, so they do realize that it's quite difficult to collaborate and invest with municipalities. So it's quite forward thinking. They've developed the Water Partnership Office, which is almost the conduit that you go through to enable that and to de-risk it to some level. I don't think we'll go privatization. I'm not sure that's right for South Africa, but you'll definitely start to see more private investment happening in that space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess water doesn't quite lend itself in the same way that electricity does to privatization and competition.
And companies don't, they've got to limit their risk in terms of becoming water service provider for communities.
Yeah. If anyone wants to learn more about the Resolve Water Project, does it have a website?
Yes, it does.
So what is the address?
Don't ask me that now.
We'll put it on the screen.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll put the screen, and we'll put up Afrigis as a website as well. Thanks. If you want to learn more about Afrigis or Resolve, those are the addresses you must go to. Any concluding thoughts, Helen?
No. Thank you for having me today. It's an exciting project, and I must say, working with Afrigis brings together two. So I have a passion and a lot of experience in the water security space, but AfriGIS has years of experience when it comes to geospatial data, managing data, and has got some really high-skilled engineers on board.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's an exciting solution.
Exciting space. It'll be interesting to see how it looks at, and I'm cautiously optimistic about the positivity you've expressed about potential fixes here. Helen Hewlett is Chief Sustainability Officer at Afrigis. Thank you so much for sharing these insights with the Tech Central audience today. Much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you.